I'm going to start my lesson in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read that chapter. So it's the chapter of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians the most excellent way to live. And the most excellent way is the way of love. In verses 1 through 3, Paul said that love is more important than spiritual gifts, or knowledge, or faith, or generosity, or even willingness to die for Christ. For even if we had all that, but did not have love, they would be as useless and empty as beating a gong outside a pagan temple. They would be worthless. In verse 4, Paul tells us that love is patient. Love has a long fuse. Love is slow to boil. Love counts downs before it blasts off. And he tells us that love is kind, and that is what I want us to consider this morning, is love is kind. And if we think about love, we think about patience. To be kind and to be trusting to one another, we need to be patient. Without patience, you have no love. So with that in mind, love is kind. Let's look at a couple of the clearest examples of kindness in the Bible. I'd like to turn to Luke 8, 40 through 56. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightly, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should know man what was done. In this passage, we see that Jesus is showing kindness to two people that are entirely different. One is a man, and the other is a woman. They are different in all aspects. One is an outcast, one is poor and unknown, the other is rich and influential, and the ruler of the synagogue. And yet Jesus treats both of them with great kindness. He treats them the same. By the time of this story, Jesus had gained a great deal of fame and was at the pinnacle of his popularity. Everybody wanted to see him. People respected him as a healer and a teacher, and crowds were swarming around him wherever he went. In fact, there were times when Jesus had to go off in secret to get time to rest and pray. But despite the pressure of the popularity, despite the crowds and constant pushing around him, despite all the demands of his time, Jesus in his kindness stopped everything he was doing to help them and to meet their needs. A writer wrote, "Love talks about is easily ignored. Love talked about is easily ignored, but love demonstrated is irresistible." Jesus not only talked about love and kindness, but he modeled it for us too. Let's look and see the ways Jesus showed kindness to them, because I think those are the ways that we need to learn to show kindness today. First of all, Jesus paid attention to them and to their needs. Listen to Luke 8:40-41, and I'm going to go back through these verses. Only I'm going to read a different translation. The King James is a little hard to understand. So, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come into his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him." Now, we're not told where Jesus was going in the story. We have no idea where he was going, what his business was that day. Probably he was on his way to some place where he could teach and preach the crowds that were surging around him. And that was something very important for him to do. He wanted to teach and preach every minute of his earthly life. But as soon as Jairus came and told him about his daughter, the very next words we read are, "As Jesus was on his way..." Eventually, Jesus immediately changed directions and started following Jairus because this little girl's situation was much more pressing than whatever else he had scheduled. He instantly changed directions. Jesus paid attention to Jairus and changed his plans and direction. But Jairus was not the only interruption, and Jesus was flexible and kind enough to pause and meet another need as they were on their way to Jairus' house. So listen to verse 43-46. "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked." And if you think about this, there's thousands of people around him and brushing against him. "Who touched me?" And I'm sure a lot of other people had touched him. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." There were crowds of people surrounding them, and everyone was in a hurry. Yet Jesus was able to differentiate the two. He was able to feel it. Our world is becoming more and more and more impersonal. And if you think about what you're going to do today, is everybody's going to get out their little computer, their little cell phone, their little connection to everyone. And this world is becoming more and more impersonal. We used to have to talk to each other to communicate. Go to the modern service station today. You don't have to talk to anyone. I can get gas in the middle of the night. Nobody even has to be there. I can fill my car. I just put a card in, pull it out, fill my tank, put it back, and I drive off. How about the airlines? Has anybody flown lately? How do you do your airline reservation? Well, you call, you pick up the phone, you dial a number, and it says, for departing flights, push 1. For arriving flights, push 2. You push 1 and it says, if you know your flight number, push 1. You push 1 again and it says, punch in your flight number. You punch it in and the computer's voice, it tells you your correct gate number. Never have to talk to anyone. Not another breathing human being. It's becoming a very impersonal world. Can you imagine, just think about this. This is where we're going to get to. What happens if they did this to 911? You dial 911 here. If your emergency is a murder, push 1. If it is a burglary, push 2. If it's a burglary and he's still in the house, push 3. If he has a gun, push 4. Can you imagine? That's probably the future. Because of the 911 operators, and they want to decide who gets priority first. I don't know where we're coming to. But it's become very impersonal. So if we think the examples of Christ and paying attention to people. Secondly, he expressed kindness by affirming her. This is in verse 47 and 48. Tell us then, the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. First of all, you need to realize that because of her disease, this woman was an outcast in the society. They treated her like a leper. She was separated from her family. And she'd been that way for 12 years. She spent every penny that she could get to talk to physicians to try and get her healed. Her self-esteem must have been as low as possible. So Jesus affirms her. He wants to find her. He wants to talk to her. It talks about her telling her story. We only have a couple verses, but it says in those verses that she told why she did that. So I'm sure she told her 12 years. She told what happened over 12 years and what happened. So I think we read a very condensed version. So I think she poured out her heart, and Jesus stood there and listened. He affirmed her. Are you a good listener? Most of us probably aren't. It's hard to be a good listener. We pass each other and we say, how are you? Or good morning. And most people say, I'm fine. 99.9% of the people, when you say that, are going to say, I'm fine. What if you were caught off guard and somebody wanted to tell you how they actually were? Would you be ready? It would startle you. It would not be normal. Irma Bombeck. Does anybody remember Irma Bombeck back in 1996? I think she died. She wrote over 4,000 articles and columns and several books, several best-selling books. Well, she told in one of her columns, I'm going to read one of her columns, about a time when she was so tired of listening. She had listened to her son tell him minute detail about a movie he had just seen, punctuated by at least 1,000 you knows and okays. Then she had received several telephone calls filled with mindless chatter that never seemed to end. So it was genuine relief that she was able to tell the last caller that she had just had to rush off to the airport. She got into the taxi cab, and as the taxi driver took her to the airport, told her all about his son, who had won a scholarship to college, and how he was making straight A's. Irma had to sit there and listen to it all. She said, but once I got to the airport, I realized that I had 30 minutes. I breathed a sigh of relief and thought, I have 30 minutes that I don't have to listen to anybody. I can just sit here and read my book and not be bothered at all. But no sooner had I opened my book when an elderly woman voice said to me, I bet it's cold in Chicago. I suppose, Irma said, without looking up from her book. And then the lady continued, I haven't been to Chicago for 3 years, the woman said. My son lives there. That's nice, says Irma. Then the woman continued, my husband's body is on this plane. We were married for 53 years. I don't drive, you see, and the funeral director was so nice, he drove me to the airport today. Irma recalls her voice droned on. Here was a woman who didn't want money or advice or counsel. All she wanted was somebody to listen. And in desperation, she had turned to a total stranger with her story. Irma Bombeck said she continued to talk to me until they announced that we were boarding the plane. We walked onto the plane and I saw her sit down in another section. And as I hung up my coat, I heard her say to the person next to her, I bet it's cold in Chicago. There were so many of us who just need somebody, some time to listen, just to focus on us and listen to what we have to say. So think about what Jesus did with this individual that had been separated from everybody for 12 years, that was treated like a leper. Think about the kindness that he showed. Think about the love that he showed just by listening. So I found being in charge of people for so long, sometimes when people come in and they're all upset, you don't have to say anything. You just sit there and listen to them, and they'll usually speak for, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. And if you acknowledge what they're saying and you nod and you give them empathy as if you're understanding them, because they know you can't change what's happened. They usually thank you when they leave, even though you said absolutely nothing, just because they want you to listen to them. Jesus was very good at that. I think he was very good at that, and he tries to teach us here. Then I think that Jesus affirmed her, but not only what he did, but he said, and he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. So he called her daughter, part of his family, which again, you know, had to make her feel really good. Jesus expressed kindness through acceptance. Notice what it says in verse 49 through 56. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Now let's concentrate on those last few verses. The miracle is exceptional, and we praise God for it, but that's not the lesson he's teaching us. Notice what Jesus told them at the end. Don't tell anyone what has happened. Well, what just happened on the way in? The most disturbing words that we hear in our earthly life, and I try to make sure my wife can't say this to me hardly ever, is I told you so. Does anybody like hearing those words? Raise your hand if you like hearing that word. I know there's no man in this room that can accept that. So, well, he could have done that. He'd just been laughed at on the way in the room from a bunch of people that he sent away. They were laughing at him when he said that she was not dead, she was just sleeping. So he could have done that. But he wanted to make sure that didn't happen. So what he asked is that they just went on about life and that he just wanted it to be as it was before. Leave it the way it was. So start back to the way it was before she was dead. He was concerned about how people felt. Sometimes it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. The fact that Jesus didn't want to embarrass them or get even with them speaks volumes when it teaches us how we are to respond to each other too. We're not to make anybody feel bad. We shouldn't try to make anybody feel bad. If we have the opportunity to do that, we should still try not to. We're not here to make people feel bad. Give you another example. Some construction workers were building a high-rise across the street from a hospital. As they were working on the third floor, they noticed a little girl standing in the third floor window of the hospital watching them work. One day they looked across and saw the little girl hold up a poster, said, "My name is Lisa. What are your names?" So the next day the construction workers came back with some poster board and magic markers, and they wrote down their names. "My name is Bob. My name is Bill. My name is Harry. How old are you?" Next day, the little girl held up a sign and said, "I'm 7 years old. How old are you?" So they went back and forth for several days, and then all of a sudden, the signs quit. So one of the workers called the hospital to see what had happened, and they said it was turned for the worse, and she's now in intensive care. So the workers got together, and they sent flowers and cards to Lisa in intensive care. And then a sign was put on the hospital after that. It said, "Lisa passed away. Thank you for your caring." So it was noticed. Love is kind. Cards, anything. Love is kind. We need to learn to be kind. These are two good examples that are miracles. I mean, we couldn't do what Jesus did, but he's given us examples that we can learn from these two miracles that he gave us. I've got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to read. I want to give you some emotional intelligence, some of the things that I read. And they're going to have every aspect of trying to relieve stress in your life. So I'm going to give you financial health goals, kind of some bullets. Financial health, live beneath your means. These are easy. These bullets are really easy. So everybody should get it. If you don't have the money, don't spend it. If you can't afford cash, what makes you think you can afford credit that's going to cost you over 20% more? And if you look at the percentage of the people on credit cards, it's amazing, staggering today. Mental health. Take time to be alone every day. You need to take time to be alone every day. It doesn't matter what time that is. You know, that's kind of a thing that you have to do. But for fast-acting relief, try slowing down. Take one day at a time. There's always enough worry for one day without taking on more. Keep your perspective. It isn't difficult to make a mountain out of a molehill. Just add a little dirt. Spiritual health. There is no shortcut to any place worth going. And I know everybody knows the spiritual health things. I wish I could say this to another congregation, you know, a different group of people that really needs the spiritual health, because this congregation really doesn't need it. But I'm going to give you some of the bullets. Keep a folder of your favorite scriptures on hand. Read your favorite scriptures. Everybody here has favorite scriptures. Keep those on hand. Open that book when you get depressed. Read your favorite scriptures. Forget unethical shortcuts. Character is much easier kept than recovered. Every night before bed, think of one more thing you're grateful for that you've never been grateful for before. And this can get hard. And give thanks to God for it. Every night. Physical health. Nothing tastes as good as thin feels. To avoid sickness, eat less. To prolong life, worry less. Get enough rest. Almost everything works out better with adequate rest. Eat right. Respect your body. You're going to live in your body for the rest of your life. Cherish your health. If it is good, preserve it. If it is unstable, improve it. If it is beyond what you can improve, get help. Goal accomplishment. To get to the top, get off your bottom. The secret to getting ahead is getting started. Work hard. The harder you work, the luckier you get. People don't realize that. And that's true. That's 100% true. The harder you work, the luckier you get. People that are lazy end up having issues. It only takes one person to change your life. That's you. Well, losers call adversity, winners call opportunity. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. Communication competence, passion persuades. Talk less, listen more. Smile. A smile is a little curve that sets things straight. KMS, keep mouth shut. Single piece of advice can prevent an enormous amount of trouble. You can think whatever you want to think. God sees what you're thinking, but nobody else does. KMS is pretty good. Write it big on your wall. Put it in your prayer book. You know, whatever you want to do to remember that. Take a stand. Standing in the middle of the road is dangerous. You will get knocked down by the traffic from both ways. So take a stand. Personal, professional growth. Don't go through life. Don't go through life. Grow through life. Make the mistakes of yesterday your lessons for today. Remember, you are not your past. You are your potential. It's impossible to learn what you think you already know. Listen to something while you're driving that can improve the quality of your life. Write down creative ideas, insights, and inspirations so you don't have to learn them all over again. Keep on learning. Learn something new every day. Never let the brain be idle. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Time management. Time flies, but remember you are the navigator. Allow extra time to do things and to get to places. Do something today that will simplify the uncolor of your life. Emotional help. Enjoy the simple things. Keep your competence up and your ego down. Do something for the kid in you every day. I still think I'm a kid. I still remember high school. You know, everybody here still thinks they're a kid. Their body says they're not. But everybody here still thinks they're a kid. Do something for the kid in you every day. I don't care if it's a piece of candy, you know, whatever it is. Tears are okay. Endure, grieve, and move on. Be alive while you're alive. Relationships. To be little is to be little. Be kind to unkind people. They probably need it more than anybody else. It's like Christ was kind to everyone. People will not warm to your words if you don't appeal to their hearts. I skipped a bunch of them. I'm out of time. With everything said and talking about the book of love, God loved you enough to send his son to die and suffer for you so that you could have the opportunity to be saved and with him up in heaven. We offer that invitation this morning to anyone that would like to be part of the church, part of his body, or you have something that you want to make known to the congregation and make right. Please come forward as we stand and sing.